Chief Quimby here, and your assignment is to listen to Tooncast.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to episode 37 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I am your host, TFJ and Mike, and joining me once again this week is JT from Saskatoon. Hello.
Good day to you, sir.
Today we're going to be concluding our Shrek coverage. Yay.
You don't sound enthused, Mike.
Oh, boy. I don't know. We'll get into this in a bit, but at least Timberlake proved he's a better actor than a musician. Oh, boy.
If you listen quietly in the background, boys and girls, you can hear the onrushing crowd of screaming females crying for Mike's blood.
Maybe crying forever since I don't bleed. But anyway. Oh. All right, so with that, here is the Shrek 3 trailer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
They grow up so fast.
Okay, you have a very full day filling in for the king and queen.
It was just a regular day in far, far away.
My butt is itching up a storm and I can't reach it.
Ah, get it, Scratch that line.
I'm dying.
I'm pregnant.
Oh, I am the rightful king of far, far away.
You thing you're ever gonna be king of is King of the Stupids!
Now, with evil forces gathering...
Hook, Wicked Witch, and you, Frumpy Pigskin.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Onward, my new friends, to our happily ever afters!
Shrek is on a mission to find the true king.
His name is Arthur.
Pardon me.
Ugh, totally Ooeth.
Yeah, totally.
But the question is...
Where's Arthur?
He's over there.
Where is Shrek?
Name doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, no bell.
Where is Fiona?
Tommy's got her someplace secret.
Where's the baby?
Oh, no.
This summer, old friends are changing.
Donkey?
Princess!
Puss?
I am Puss.
I don't get it. The cat turned into a little horse that smells like feet. What's to get?
New friendships are beginning.
I don't want to be king.
You have to change your tactics if you want to get anywhere with this kid.
If you think this whole mad scene ain't dope, or what I'm saying ain't straight tripping, just say, oh, no, you didn't. Then I'll know it's whack.
And the ladies.
Okay, girls, from here on out, we're going to take care of business ourselves.
Are no longer in waiting. It's a whole new chapter of the greatest fairy tale never told.
I think that went pretty well.
DreamWorks, Shrek the Third.
I know he's a jerk and everything, but I gotta admit, that charming makes me hotter than July.
Ew!
The story of my life!
Alright, so we are here to talk about Shrek the Third. Which is a 2007 American computer animated feature comedy film, the third film in the Shrek series. It was produced by, of course, Jeffrey Katzenberg for DreamWorks Animation, and is the first in the series to be distributed by Paramount Pictures, who acquired DreamWorks Pictures in 2006, the former parent of DreamWorks Animation. It was released in U.S. theaters on May 18th, 2007, exactly 6 years after the first film. Although the film received mixed reviews from critics, it grossed $798 million. Wait, is that right?
Yeah, basically 800 mil.
Okay, yeah, 800 million, making it a commercial success. Produced with the working title of Shrek 3, the name being changed to avoid potential confusion with Shrek 4D. Like the first two Shrek films, the film is based on the fairy tale themes. It is nominated for Best Animated Movie at the 2008 Kids' Choice Awards and was also nominated for the BAFTA Award for Best Animated Film in the 61st British Academy Film Awards. This film also pairs former Monty Python members Eric Idle and John Cleese for the first time since 1993's Splitting Hairs. Idle plays Merlin, Cleese plays King Harold. Again, as we said last week in episode 36, this week in episode 37, logical way to take this franchise, I guess. I don't know. Has logic been thrown out the window at this point? Because in the first film, you had a combination of Cinderella, Rapunzel, Snow White, as far as the tower thing. You had a combination of that. In the second film, you had a combination of Cinderella and fairy tales and godmothers and all that other stuff. And in here, they go to Camelot.
Yeah, you figured they would have brought in the Arthurian legend sooner or later.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I love the fact that, I said last week, one of my favorite voices in this one, just to get off it right away, was Captain Hook. They brought in Ian McShane, you know, Al Swearingen from Deadwood, to voice Captain Hook, and I thought that was just awesome. And you look at some of, there's like, you know, Mark Valley, who up until I did the research, I knew I recognized the voice. I just didn't recognize the voice. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, TV's Human Target is the Cyclops. And there's kind of a mini SNL reunion here.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, you look at the princesses. You got Amy Poehler, Snow White. Maya Rudolph is Rapunzel. Amy Sedaris is Cinderella. And Sherry O'Terry as Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Who has one of the most, when we talk about it, when we get to the plot, has one of the most interesting ways of fighting in a battle.
Sure. Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah. She's a narcoleptic and she falls down beautifully and trips like half the evil knights,
yeah.
You know? And yeah, no, it's like you said, Eric Idle's in here as Merlin. And I didn't know a lot of the voice casting, like, you know, I saw the trailer, you know, I was intrigued. Actually did see this one in theaters. It was last one I saw in theaters. So
I didn't see either one of three or four in theaters. I know I did.
Yeah. But when Idol showed up, I was like, holy shit, that's Eric. Holy shit. you know? And
my
then
first thought was, how did Retgar become a wizard?
Bob Wheat, Rama Wheat, Mini Bob?
Yes.
Basically, you know, and yeah, like you said, JT's in here, Justin Timberlake. I actually did like his rendition of King Arthur. And I think that just because he never really spoke of it in the last week, there's an anachronistic sense of humor in these movies, that there is a lot of modern tropes and sensibilities that are written into the script.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and well, there's nothing more modern than Justin Timberlake, but the fact that, you know, he kind of plays like a nerdy King Arthur, I thought that was kind of brilliant.
Well, I think the whole point of this one, besides the whole main plot line of, you know, Fiona's, oh my God, I'm pregnant, what is Shrek going to say? And Donkey and Dragon going off having their issues, the whole main plot here was set the Arthurian legend in high school times. Because at this point, in 2007, we're all about High School Musical and all that.
The OC.
Yeah.
No, I get that. I love, you know, talk about a little bit more in the plot, but where Shrek first goes to find Artie, and I love that it's not Arthur, it's Artie.
Yeah.
Where he sees, like, you know, basically Flash Thompson on a horse. And he's like, natural leader, good looks, yep, that's him. And all of a sudden the flying tackle dummy comes from his Shrek. I love this movie, like, not as much as I love 2, but I still love this one, especially with some of the twists in the plot. So but
yeah, some of the plots are really, really well done. You essentially have, what's the Worcestershire? Yeah.
Yeah, the Worcestershire Academy.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen was in this movie? My God.
Yes. The whole plot of this is, it reminds me of House of Mouse, when it was like House of Villains and the villains took over the House of Mouse. Because essentially this is Charming, you know, being the brat that he is. His mom is gone and everything else. And he wants to get the villains all together to obviously, you know, take over and, you know, have them running things. And
Yeah, no, it's I love the fact that he brought Charming back and that he steps up to be the villain this time.
Yes.
I mean, it was great. And God, this is just
what?
No, it's just like this movie, the fact that they really like the Arthurian legend, like the tale of King Arthur and Camelot, is like up there and like, say, you know, all-time favorite sort of stories. And I love the fact that, you know, you see the construction of King Arthur, you know, you see, and the fact that King Arthur kind of owes his whole deal to an ogre. I just thought that was kind of smart. It was funny, brilliant, not brilliant, brilliant, but you know what I mean? It's just, that was great.
Yep.
And
Merlin confusing the spells the time.
Neurotic Merlin.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, it's Eric Idle. There's no other way he would have played Merlin.
Oh, no.
You know, and I think one of the, you know, we'll mention again in the script and in the plot, but Donkey and Puss switching bodies. That was just,
it was so logical. I mean, it was the...
How else can you mess with these guys?
Really? Honestly, yeah, that's true. Because if you look at, you know, Puss's introduction in 2 to now, you know, look at everything that was done in 2 and, like, what is the logical progression of this buddy-buddy, you know, rivalry kind of thing between the two of them?
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, the body switch. You know, the essentially the Freaky Friday thing where, you know, they have to do that kind of thing to just be able to bring it around later to show them, oh, this is what it's like to be you. Oh, this is what it's like to be you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got that whole kind of sub-plot between Donkey and Puss. And the fact that Puss goes from being, like I said, this badass monster hunter, and now he's just like a sidekick. And I have nothing, I love that. I have nothing against that. And again, it's the reason, you know, like I said, it's the voice acting, because like by this point, everyone's pretty well established in their characters that now they can just be funny.
I mean, the only characters you really have to establish is you have to establish the story of Artie. Yeah. I mean, everybody else to this point, because you brought back Charming, you didn't bring in another villain, a different villain. You know, the only one you really have to develop is the story of Shrek, Fiona, Donkey, Dragon, Puss in Boots, you know, and of course the royal family, but you further along that character development. You don't have to reintroduce them each film, and that's good.
You just keep building, you know, you add to the characters, you don't add new characters.
Right, yeah.
At least in the grand scheme of things, you don't have to add that many new characters. I mean, you add Artie, you add Merlin, and then you just basically tweak what you have. Like I said, Charming stepped up in this movie. He is the bad guy. He is the villain. He's also the douchebag, but that's part of the character. So, yeah. And then that's one of the best things about Charming is it's Rupert Everett. Like this guy, he knows comedy. Like this guy can be funny. He can be serious funny. He can be funny, funny. He can be, you know, the whole spectrum basically. And that's like when you get a great actor, not necessarily a voice actor, but when you get a great actor in the right role, it becomes something else. And that was one of the best things about Charming is that's ever stepped up the game in this one.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, he has to, his mommy ain't around to save him anymore. He can't, you know, stare into the mirror all this time now.
Yeah. Like he's still a foppish, but he's dangerous now too. So, because what does he have left to lose?
Yeah, exactly. There's no more playing Fabio for that prince.
Yeah.
I can't believe they fit in the Led Zeppelin bit with Amy Fuller's character, Snow White. That was kind of awesome.
Yeah, and then going into the Barracuda.
Yep.
Which was great, like. I think if there's one thing, the only thing I didn't like in this movie was, like, if we can segue into the plot, was,
yeah,
you know, Charming's plotting revenge, you know, and it's amazing. It's right off at the beginning. King Harold dies. I was like, what? You've got Eric Idle in this movie? Like, I thought about this afterwards. You have Eric Idle in this movie, and you don't have anything with him and John Cleese together?
Yeah, that was a little messed up.
And also, I like I said, there's an anachronistic humor to these movies. I could have done without, especially the way they send him off, you know, in his coffin. It's like, yay, old footlocker. And I was like, really? Really? Because that's just like, I'm not saying poor taste, but I was just like, oh, come on. You can be funnier than that.
Yeah.
And just the scenes of Shrek and Fiona trying to rule the kingdom, and you just see how terminally uncomfortable Shrek is in the whole responsibility aspect, which becomes a very, was it salient point?
Oh, yeah.
Later on in the film with the whole idea of, like, he just wants to go live in the swamp. He doesn't want to have responsibility. And Fiona's like, honey, speaking of responsibility.
Yeah. And speaking of mimicking voice actors, you did that a little too well. Don't do that again, dude.
Oh, well, that wasn't even close to Fiona.
The male version of her, maybe.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, all right. So, you know,
So they got King Harold's dead, and they have to go and find Artie. You know, Arthur, the heir to the throne, and they journey to Worcestershire Academy.
Yes.
I honestly can't say that word without saying it like that. I just can't.
It's Worcestershire is what it is.
Yeah. But no, it's just, I love, like, the whole, basically, Artie is Peter Parker. And after a fashion, I mean, you think about what he grows up to become, it kind of works. But I mean, yeah, no, he's this nerd. He's just kind of going through the motions, and Shrek basically gets him, like, he has, like, the typical teenager in any sort of movie like this, you're going to be a king. And he's like, okay, let's go. 'Cause he's thinking babes, money, and whatever else. And then when it dawns on him, like, there's actual responsibilities, it's an allegory to, you know, Shrek and everything, like when they're taken off on this ship and Fiona, I love the humor. It's a cliched joke, but Fiona's like, Shrek, I've got to tell you, I'm.
You know,
that was great. But yeah, and it's just the fact they got to go. I love that the Mr. Merlin. I was like, oh, of course Merlin would be have a schizophrenic breakdown. And who else do you get to play him? I mean, it's freaking Eric Idle.
Yeah.
And that whole thing of, he's basically gone off to become a hippie in the woods.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, and then, you know, you said earlier about going back to the fact that, oh, you know, Shrek is trying to find a way out of responsibility and just trying to, you know, shoehorn Artie in there. And then, of course, that comes around to where Shrek has to face responsibility of being a father, and Artie does become the king.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, like, they're, and then again, I didn't get that until I'd seen the movie once or twice, that how their stories, their past kind of parallel each other in the course of the movie, you know. But it's the whole idea that Shrek is, like, legitimately afraid of this change. Like, he wasn't nearly as scared of letting someone into his life like Fiona, the way he is scared of his whole life completely changing. Because let's face it, kids change everything. I mean, I don't have a kid, but, you know, they change everything. I've seen that enough with a lot of my friends that have kids. And he's legit scared. Like, it's a huge frigging weight. And the same thing with Artie, like he's just this nerd in high school, and then you've got, you know, Shrek and Donkey and Puss coming and telling us like, you're going to be king, you're going to be responsible for all these thousands of people in this kingdom, and you got to make this life and death decisions. And it's like, that's a heavy deal to put on a 16-year-old kid.
Oh yeah,
it's just wow. Like, you know, but I'm not saying if that had happened to me, you know, in my life, somebody comes in, you know, you're the heir to this huge business fortune, whatever, guaranteed within 15 minutes, I'm sitting on the floor in a closet, rocking back and forth in the fetal position. Cause you know, it's your mind, my mind probably wouldn't be able to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this. Like you see, talk about subplots, you know, like you spoke earlier about Puss and Donkey switching bodies when they get teleported back to far, far away by Merlin. I love the whole subplot with the princesses, you know, like you spoke of briefly earlier, like Snow White and Rapunzel and Cinderella and Narcoleptic Beauty. And because I love how that it's Sleeping Beauty. I mean, how are you going to make fun of that in this movie? Well, she's a narcoleptic.
Yep. But which makes so much sense too.
Yeah, that was great. But I mean, well, you know, Shrek and company are traveling back to far, far away. You know, Charming invades with all the villains like Captain Cook and the evil Captain Cook, Captain Hook, Rumpelstiltskin, Headless Horseman, Puppet Master, and basically every other fairy tale malcontent that he could find at the Poison Apple Tavern.
Yeah.
You know, and puts the princesses, locks them all up in the dungeon. I love Queen Lillian. Oh, I'm sorry, that is a badass mother. She headbutts her way through solid stone walls. I love the fact it took two headbutts to like put her off her game. Because it's like the first one, she just goes, stares at it, hi-ya. And Fiona's like, damn. And she's like, we got another one yet. And she does it again. That's when she's like, look at all the pretty colors. Which was funny. And the reveal of, you know, the traitor in their midst, you know, the, what a twist. I honestly didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Of Rapunzel. Who's.
I kind of saw it. I mean.
Well, I kind of figured somebody was going to screw over the princesses at some point in the movie.
Like, yeah.
Once they got locked up, I just didn't see Rapunzel coming. Like, I thought it was going to be Doris the Ugly Stepsister.
No, that would not happen, I don't think.
Pretty sure Larry King had that in the contract. Will not play the villain.
Yeah, will not be evil, yes. He has a reputation to think about.
Hi, I'm Larry King. But yeah, no, I love that, how they break out and all that. And like you said with the Led Zeppelin thing, which, again, it's another kind of knock at Disney in a way with the whole singing. It's not even a knock at Disney. It's a knock at the trope of the fairy tale princess singing and the animals coming to her.
Yeah.
And then you realize she's... I don't know what a character mode that the whole thing is. It's like that scene in Batman Begins where Batman has that little sonic dealie that calls all the bats to him.
Oh, yeah.
The asylum, and she just goes to, ah, and sends, like, woodpeckers and squirrels and deers and rabbits and just... And basically, they're attacking the Ents from Lord of the Rings, which are these, you know, big talking tree creatures in that. The two tree guards are just losing their crap.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically mauled.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And it's, I love the movie, man. Like, up until this point, everything is perfect.
Yeah.
But.
You know, to kind of close up the plot, you know, of course, to end the film, Donkey, the princesses, and the fairy tale characters confront the villains. However, the villains regain control. Artie eventually arrives and convinces the villains to give up their evil ways. Charming, furious at being thwarted, lunges for Artie with his sword. Shrek blocks the blow, and Charming lunges at him. Shrek, who at first seems fatally injured, informs Charming that he missed and that
The prince needs to keep looking for his own happily ever after as Shrek pushes Charming aside. Dragon knocks over the Rapunzel Tower, resulting in the death of Charming. Shrek tells Artie the throne is his if he wants it. Artie chooses to become king. While the kingdom celebrates, Merlin restores Puss and Donkey to their proper bodies, accidentally switching their tails. However, their tails are later corrected. Shrek retires with Fiona to their swamp, becoming the parents of ogre triplets. Ugliest babies ever.
Cute ugly. I'll give you that. It's they're not the traditional, you know, cute babies, but they got that cute ugly going on. And one thing, just where Artie comes back there, and kind of skip that in the plot, how it's again, it kind of goes back to the first film where Shrek hears Fiona and Donkey talking and he takes it entirely the wrong way. The same thing with Artie.
Right.
He thinks Shrek's selling him out, and then, you know, Puss and Donkey's like drop is like, he did that to save your life.
Yeah.
You know, and then he comes back and, you know, saves the day. And I love that where Dragon knocks over the tower. And I was like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I don't think, because Shrek told him to, like, look for your own happily ever after. I don't think Charming deserved a happily ever after.
Well, no.
You know, I mean, everybody deserves to be happy. It's just Charming's a dick.
Yep. Pretty much. So getting into the production bits here a little bit, very interesting. I don't know if this is still going to be happening, but according to the Wikipedia article here, it says, following the success of Shrek 2, a third and fourth Shrek movie, along with plans for a final fifth film, were announced in May 2004 by Jeffrey Katzenberg. Shrek 3 and 4 are going to reveal other unanswered questions. And finally, in the last chapter, we will understand how Shrek came to be in that swamp when we meet him in the first movie. Now, we do know, obviously, since we just talked about the plot of Shrek 3. Shrek 3 happened. We're going to be talking about Shrek 4. I have not heard anything about a Shrek 5.
Yeah, no, they were talking about that back in the day. But, I kind of dug into this a little bit more. And unfortunately, at this time, it's pretty much done. Like, Shrek 4, like, forever after, put a cap on the franchise. Like, they could go back and do a fifth one, but, you know, time will tell, basically. There's no indication right now one way or the other.
Well, if they go back and do a fifth one and they tell the story as what that quote from Katzenberg was of how Shrek became in that swamp where he found him in the first film. I don't want to see a movie about that. That was the whole point of this franchise, is Shrek is an ogre, he lives in the swamp. We don't need to know how he got there. You know?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it would be interesting to see. I mean, especially if, you know, as fractured as these fairy tales have been, you know, if they do it the right way, that could be an interesting film. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be an actual film. It could be like, you know, the like Scared Shrekless or something, like some of the TV specials. They could do something like that.
Yeah.
So, but no, let's see, where are we? Like, as far as trivia, like the, I think the best trivia in any of these movies is, you know, the references to the various fairy tales.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
And, you know, like I said, the anachronistic humor is definitely, like I said, you Led Zeppelin, you know, Barracuda, like using the songs, and especially music is such a great part of these films.
Yeah.
I just love, like I said, probably one of my favorite bits in the movie was the Snow White singing and then attack.
Yeah.
And again, like, I loved Justin Timberlake as Artie. Like, you know, was probably one of my favorite things, because his performance it was a solid performance. It wasn't perfect, because there were certainly some scenes where it just sounded like he was kind of phoning it in. And then there's others where, like the one where they're come back to Far, Far Away and he just starts riffing like Shrek's like this, you know, high-powered actor, and Artie is his, you know, gopher.
Yeah.
You know, to get away from the guards. You know, scenes like that. It's, I don't know. It's like, is there anything in particular you liked about this one?
I like seeing Arthurian, different versions of the Arthurian legend. This did it much better than, say, 1998's Quest for Camelot.
God.
Something we will get to at some point here in Tooncast Beyond during one of these seasons. I don't know when, but...
God. Oh, God.
He will so be on that episode.
I think I'll be working that day, Mike.
But no, I mean, overall, I enjoyed this movie. I don't see, like, I don't understand why, where, like, some of the critics or some of the other people on the internet have an issue with this film. I honestly don't. You know, you've got little nitpicks, like you said, about his voice, and sometimes his acting was a little iffy as far as Artie goes, but this to me is the same franchise players, you know, Shrek, Fiona, Donkey, the parents. You know, this is the same people with the addition of Eric Idle and all that, and the addition of the plot of having Charming come back after the end of the second film. I don't see how people have issues with this movie.
Yeah, it's, again, it's kind of like I said in last week's episode, you know, if you, anybody, like I said, if anyone said you do not, like anyone get on the IGN replacement crew, if anyone gave this a one, there would be hell to pay. Because seriously, like how, I agree, like not everyone's not going to love every movie all the time. But to really have, to go so far as to have like a bone to pick, or to actively not like this movie, I just can't see how. And it's not coming from love. Like, I mean, just logically, like somebody, how could you be pissed at a movie?
Hmm.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, like we said earlier, this one made, as far as the box office, it made close to $800 million. So that's saying something about it.
Exactly.
You know, it was nominated for several different awards. It won the People's Choice Awards for Favorite Family Movie, and Eddie Murphy won a Kids' Choice Award for Favorite Voice from an Animated Movie. So,
and that's another thing, like trivia, is like every Kids' Choice, like from the first one, Donkey wins.
Well, yeah, it's...
It's Donkey, so duh.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
I'm surprised, and I'm surprised Banderas's Puss in Boots never got a nom for, like, Best Sidekick or something like that.
Yeah, I know, but, see, that's the thing, it's like, where, in this film especially, where the hell was Puss? Like, I knew he was there, but...
But yeah, him and Donkey, for, I mean, aside from the body switch, they're...
Yeah, they were kind of absent in this one.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really contribute a whole lot. Like, even the second one, you know, well, I mean, Puss was
Well,
like,
I mean, the second one they contributed because they were more so arguing with each other because Puss was the new guy and Donkey was, quote-unquote, the best friend still.
Yeah.
I mean, Donkey will always be Shrek's best friend, but in two, it was more so, hey, here's Puss. Let's all introduce him. Let's give him some quibbling to do with Donkey. Hey, they are not totally, obviously, front and center as Shrek and Fiona in the sequel, like we talked about last week. But in three, they're, like, just gone. I mean, it's more so about the princesses, you know, taking up the battle and, you know, freeing everything and all that. It's not necessarily as, you know... I don't even think they had a song in this one, did they? I don't even remember if they did. I don't think they did.
Not really, no. They, like I said, they were there without really contributing. Like, they're just along for the ride, basically.
Yeah. I would say if you are getting into the IGN replacement crew, I would say if you are a fan of the franchise, go ahead and get this on DVD. So I'm going to give it a 4. I mean, I liked it. I liked it for what it is. I like the humor in it. It's... Probably the Shrek franchise is probably one of DreamWorks' better
overall franchises that has multiple sequels. I'm not going to say that the Shrek movies are the best thing that DreamWorks has ever done, because, you know, How to Train Your Dragons, obviously, its own thing, and it's slightly better and all that stuff. But, I mean, Shrek, when you think of DreamWorks Animation, the first thing anyone thinks of is Shrek. At least I do, anyway.
Yeah. And one other bit of trivia, at least for Monty Python fans, is where Prince Charming's doing the dinner theater in the beginning, and his stagehands using the coconuts for the hoofbeats. That's kind of a reference to the Holy Grail. And I think Idle said he was considering suing the producers for the unauthorized use of this gag. I think that was just him blowing smoke. He was just having fun with that. Because the producers said they were doing that because you had Idle and Cleese in the film. And again, that's trivia for lack of trivia. It's like he didn't have any scenes between Harold and Merlin, which I thought was definitely a mark against the film. I mean, because you got two of Monty Python's favorites.
Yeah.
And nothing happens.
Yep. Any final words on Shrek 3?
Well, we still got to do the IGN replacement crew, don't we?
Oh, yeah. What do you give it?
Again, another 3.5. Like, definitely should be on your Netflix queue. And if you find it for, like, you know, a decent price, I would definitely recommend picking it up for the collection. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the same thing for me. Like I said before, you know, if you're a fan of the franchise, go ahead and pick it up on DVD. So it's a 4 for me, because the film isn't that bad, and not everyone overanalyzes good animation when the fact that they constantly love watching bad animation, like Robin and the Dreamweavers. Oh, whoops. So we'll be back after this.
I gotta say, Shrek, I envy you. No worries, no responsibilities.
Oh, that's a laugh.
Sometimes I wish I had just one day to feel like a real ogre again.
Well, why didn't you say so? Magical transactions are my specialty.
All right, what's the catch?
You gotta give a day to get a day. That's all. Just sign it. And by the time this day is up, you are gonna feel like a changed ogre.
So, what happens now?
Have a nice day.
Oh, no.
All right, Rumpel. This wasn't part of the deal. Silly little ogre. Everything's changed. I'm king now.
Oh, this little piggy wants to go home.
I've never seen you before in my life.
It's me, your best friend.
Help! I've been kidnapped by a deranged ogre!
Fiona! I'm so happy I found you!
Where did we find that guy?
Puss? Feed me, if you dare.
Shrek shares two loves kiss with Fiona by sunrise. It's the end of my empire. Get him!
This May.
Tonight, we attack.
Welcome to the Resistance.
I didn't know we could do that.
Prepare for the final chapter.
Get him, Witcher!
And hold on. For the greatest Shrek adventure ever.
Donkey to the rescue! I kinda like Saturday.
Donkey!
Oh, great.
DreamWorks Shrek Forever After in 3D.
Donkey, can I borrow your tongue?
Hey, what? No hair. Hey, baby.
I don't care how big your eyes get played, it's not going down.
Oh, all right.
The final chapter, May 21st.
So we are back, and that was the Shrek Forever After, or Shrek the Final Chapter, or Shrek 4, or Shrek 4D, or Shrek whatever the hell they're calling this movie trailer. which is the final, supposedly, 2010 American computer animated film, the fourth and final installment in the Shrek film series produced by DreamWorks Animation. The film was released by Paramount Pictures in cinemas on May 20th, 2010 in Russia, and on May 21st in the United States. Wow. It was also released in 3D and IMAX 3D format. I did not see this in theaters. I actually did not see this until it hit iTunes.
The same, well, I mean, I rented this movie, which is now a sadly forgotten practice in North America, going to a store and renting a movie.
That's right.
You know, but no, I rented this, I think not too long after it came out on disc, you know, on DVD. I liked it a lot. I would consider it, just say right off, I consider it to be probably the weakest of the four out of the franchise. Just the whole Groundhog Day alternate timeline, you know, Back to the Future sort of aspect of it. It's like, it's been done in like dozens of other movies. So it, other than the fact that they're still poking fun at fairy tale tropes and then they mix this in, this is, of all the four movies, this is the one that seemed the most like just being product. Not in a bad way. It's just like, I still love the movie. It's just, you know, and now, and like, you could see the beats coming in the script. So
I could see some of them coming, but I was really surprised with this one. Because after seeing the first three multiple times, you know, and even seeing the first three, okay, you know, as I said in this episode and last week's episode, there has been a logical progression of story throughout the franchise where, as I said before, the first one was essentially them meeting and, you know, sharing a few, you know, meeting, falling in love and all that crap, getting married. Two was, hey, you know, fairy tale, blah, 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 blah. Three was, oh, hey, I'm pregnant, blah, 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 blah. You know, and four, they've pretty much settled into their life. You know, and then this whole Rumpelstiltskin thing happens. And, of course, you know how the whole Rumpelstiltskin thing goes. You know, changing time around and doing this and doing that. I thought it was a unique way to take the characters, really. I mean, it's not like so unique that it's not, that it hasn't done before with, been done before with other movies, but to this point it hadn't been done with that, those characters. So that's why I like it. I still say the first two are my favorite, and then I would take, you know, three, then four. But when I first saw it, I was like, oh, they're going in a really interesting direction with these characters now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not so much the direction that I say, it's just, you've seen this plot in other movies before. So, I mean, it was entertaining. You see the Shrek version of that because, you know, you've seen the Shrek version of all these other fairy tale stories and characters. So, like I said, I like the movie a lot. It's just not my favorite overall. So, and, you know, then you look again at the voice cast, and this one, they got some cool voice casting choices in here. I mean, especially when, you know, you go into the alternate timeline and you look at the three members of of the posse. I mean, you got, you know, Mad Men's John Hamm, Jane Lynch, and Craig Robinson from The Office. I mean, that probably made it my favorite part.
Mm.
So, I mean, especially those three characters. You look at some of the other ones down the line, like you got, well, even Seacrest put some time in as a character in here.
Oh my God, you've got, all right, we already knew about Doris, you know, being Larry King, but you got Mabel, voiced by Regis Philbin. Holy shit.
Yeah. And then you got stuff like Kathy Griffin voices a witch. And it's the fact that you get some well-known voices like that, or actors, comedians, to just do these like side characters that aren't even in there that long.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the fact that Regis Philbin is, and yeah, and I love the fact, like, how they play the characters. Because, I mean, the plot is Shrek's kind of you know, he's happy, but he's unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that Rumpelstiltskin was always a part of the story, you just didn't know it until now.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you think about that? How they brought Rumpelstiltskin in specifically?
I think, again, as I said before, I thought it was an interesting twist. Like, you know, to kind of learn that he was the one pulling the strings behind all this stuff originally. You know, if you really wanted to, you know, use it that way. I thought that was cool because, again, it's something that we haven't seen with this franchise. Yes, we've seen the plot trope of going back in time. We've seen the plot trope of alternate realities. I mean, we've seen that in everything over the last 50, 70, 80, you know, however many years, you know what I mean? We've seen it in other things, but here it was, for me, it was made different because of, you know, what this world is and who these characters are, and just it just added something that I wasn't expecting it to add.
Yeah. I mean, one of the best things about the plot is, you know, like I said, it's just the whole alternate reality thing, that never know mind, is the idea of Shrek's losing himself, you know, because he's a father and he's a celebrity, but, you know, he misses being him. You know, he wants to be an ogre again, you know, because that's his belief, is that, you know, he's just not, he's basically having a Shrek life crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the best points of the movie. And that leads into him, you know, once he kind of basically he smashes up, like, was this his birthday party? It's like,
yeah.
Was it? Yeah. He just basically freaks out at his birthday party and storms off. Yeah. And he runs into Rumpelstiltskin, who's basically been plotting and waiting for his chance to take his revenge for this perceived, you know, slight.
Mm.
And thus comes, you know, he signs the contract and he'll live one day and as if he never lived at all, which gives us the, you know, the Groundhog Day thing.
Yeah.
And what was the actor's name that did Walt Dorn?
Yeah,
I love the way he played Rumpelstiltskin as this creepy little asshole. It was just like, that was probably one of my favorite voices in the movies, like, because he's just wow, like, yeah. He's legit, just, you just wow. Want to, yeah, it's shit. Just how creepy and insane and ultimately truly annoying,
mm-hmm,
the character is. And that's great, because I mean, that goes to, you know, Mr. Dorn's credit of being a voice actor, like how he played the character so well. But yeah, like, you go to the alternate reality and, you know, he's taken over, you know.
Because the day he erased, because the whole deal was Shrek wanted a day to himself, or he just wants one day where he can be
an ogre
again, without all this pressure, without all this, you know, life stuff. And the day that Rumpelstiltskin erased was the day that Shrek was born. So hence, you know,
no one knows who he is.
Exactly. You know what? It's not really. It is time travel. It is all that stuff from Back to the Future. But really, honestly, this is Shrek's Miracle on 34th Street. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
No. Hold on. No, it's not Miracle on 34th. It's Shrek's Wonderful Life is essentially what this is, because he got erased from existence, which means he has to now prove all this stuff. What I loved about it was how different, what I love about the movie is, after Shrek is never born, how different all of the characters' lives are. Because again, as I said, after the first three films, what more can you do? Like after the third film, I was fine. Okay, sure, they're, you know, happily married, pregnant, raising babies, whatever. I was fine to leave the franchise at a trilogy. But then they had to, because obviously of the nearly $800 million success of the third one, they were going to make a fourth one. So I was like, okay, all right, that's cool, that's great. All right, yeah, I've seen that before. But then it was like, without Shrek, look at the paths all these characters have now gone on.
True. I mean, another thing, and just thinking about the course of the story, like how Shrek, like I said when we talked about Shrek 1 last week, was he's basically, he's got to come out of his comfort zone. And all the movies are basically hit, like, in a way, is all these movies, Shrek has got to just, he hasn't quite gotten out of that comfort zone yet. Because, I mean, the first one, he's getting out of his comfort zone, letting someone into his life, and Fiona and Donkey. And the second one is like, you know, he's got these responsibilities now. He, you know, he's got to still, he still has to agree. It's about Shrek growing, really. But also the growing up and just trying to change and get out of that comfort zone, you know, that wall that he built up, you know, around in his mind.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. And this one's just the ultimate. This is like, you know, this is the icebreaker. This is the lockbreaker where he sees what, you know, in order to appreciate what he has, you know, he has to see what it would be like if no one had what they're supposed to. You know, what if no one had a happily ever after?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, no, I love when he wakes up and when he first meets Donkey, like, wow, like, just to see what happens to Donkey without Shrek.
I know.
It's just like, damn. And the first time he sees, you just see Donkey, like, how did he not drop a couple of biscuits when he sees Shrek coming towards him like that? He's like, ah, get away, get away, get away.
I know. That's just, yeah.
Well, again, like the first movie, how, you know, when Shrek's talking about people judge me before they know me, and Donkey's like, I didn't do that. And this one where he sees Shrek kind of crying and, you know, bemoaning his existence, and, you know, Donkey decides to help him. That just shows, like, what a good, like, how good an egg Donkey really is. Because
yeah. Oh, yeah.
He goes, he's like, you know what, screw, you know, what I thought, that this dude needs help, and it's, Donkey's a stand-up, you know, guy. So, and again, like I talked about how Donkey and Puss didn't really have anything to do in the third one, I loved what they did with Puss in this one, how he retired, and he's kind of like,
he's a fat cat.
Yeah, he's a fat cat. What's the word, the Caligula bot from Futurama.
Yeah.
You know, he just sits back and he eats and he's just like this fat kitty. And I was like, damn, dude, you let yourself go.
Yep.
I don't know. What did you think about, like, up to this point with the whole, this is your life, wonderful life?
I mean, I like it. I would definitely watch Shrek Forever After before I watch It's a Wonderful Life, because I just can't get past the title.
Yeah.
for those of you listening to Tooncast Beyond, that was a really good Batman the Animated Series reference. you know, I like it. Like I said, I like, you know, the whole thing of him having to essentially regain the trust of Fiona in this new reality, and them fighting back against Rumpelstiltskin. I like that. And of course, you know, kind of just getting through the plot here, the, you know, at the end, you basically have, right before he fades away, Fiona did, the alternate version of Fiona did fall in love with him, and she kisses him before he disappears, which it really just, you know, pushes him back to the original reality, to right before he lashes out from it at everyone. So instead of lashing out, he obviously embraces his friends and everybody lives happily ever after, you know. And I thought that was great because it essentially, her kissing him avoided the contract.
That he signed with Rumpel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that, you know, that they can go back to their lives. And, you know, the whole point of this film is, you know, you don't know what you have until it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, that was the great thing. Like, and especially when, you know, he signs the deal. And, you know, he does, like, the whole alternate timeline thing. And when he finds, when he confronts Stiltskin, you know, about that, and he's, like, so hurt, and he almost sees Shrek break. Because he can't figure out how, you know, how to save himself, how to, you know, get back what he's kind of lost.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, and then who comes to his aid? Donkey. I mean, that's... Donkey really had a lot, like I said, like the third movie, Donkey had a lot to do here. Because, I mean, yeah. Push shows up and he contributes a little bit, but he doesn't really do a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like, you know, they kiss and everything's back to normal and Shrek's like, you know what? Fuck it. He just embraces what he has and, you know, he has this, like you said, he has a new appreciation for what he has, and he's truly happy now. You know, he's out, he's broken out of that comfort zone, which is great.
Yeah.
So, but no, I mean, and throughout these movies, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not completely useless when it comes to, you know, emotional depth like this, but a lot of, I see a lot of myself in some of these movies, like, you know, just getting out of your comfort zone, getting, you know, trying to find, you know, where you're supposed to be. And that's one of the best things about these movies, that it's a journey throughout the four of them.
Yeah, exactly. That, yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. You know, you have a journey in each film. The first film was, you know, the buddy journey trying to save the princess. The second one was, you know, essentially, you know, them, you know, meeting the parents and all this and all that, and the third one was the journey of Arthur, Artie, and Shrek, you know, learning responsibility and accepting for what he is. And in this one, it's like, you know, be happy with what you have, because it could be gone the next time you blink.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that's the perfect way to describe the plot in as little as possible. So,
As I said earlier in this episode, there were plans for five, but apparently because of the way that Josh Klausner and his team wrote about the, you know, he's quoted in here as saying, when I first came onto the project, it wasn't supposed to be the final chapter. There were only five movies. About a year into the development, Jeffrey Katzenberg decided that the story that we had come up with was the right way for Shrek's journey to end, which was incredibly flattering. So, yeah, I mean, well, at least Katzenberg came to his senses.
Well, yeah, like I said, you could do a special seeing Shrek's origin, but it's not necessary overall.
Yeah, I mean, because heaven forbid we have, like, 10 sequels. Oh, Lord, wait, that's, Kung Fu Panda. Oh, good God. I heard a rumor that Kung Fu Panda, that DreamWorks had planned out, after Kung Fu Panda 2, they planned out 3 through 10.
Yeah, that's... Like, and I think I told you this before off-air, it's like, I love the Kung Fu Panda movies. I could see another one or two sequels, like, do a quadrilogy like Shrek. You know, but really, 4? I think the story would top out at 4. I mean, there's... You'd have to admit there's only so many times Jack Black's going to be able to save Kung Fu. So, but yeah, no, it's like, I liked it. It was a great finale. You know, it did bring Shrek's journey to a logical conclusion from where he was in the first movie. And
yeah,
that's the best thing about this movie. Like Katzenberg was actually, that was pretty slick to, you know, say it like that, like, this is the right way to end it. And it's better to go out on top than to fade away, which is entirely what would have happened if the franchise kept going.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not looking at the actual Wikipedia, but I do have Wikipedia info covered on the script here, but I don't know what the budgets were for these movies, but they made a lot of freaking money, because this one made $752 million.
Yeah, and it was just looking at the same, like, just looking at the wiki article here in, like, the, you know, the info box at the top, it's budgeted for between $135-165 million, so it's made, like, over six times its budget back.
Yeah,
you know, it's made a chunk of change, like, ooh, big shock, right?
Yeah, really. It was nominated for a bunch of awards, where the only one it won was for favorite voice actor, a favorite voice from an animated movie, Eddie Murphy, which was the 2011 Kids' Choice Awards. But it was nominated for Saturn Awards, Annie Awards, People's Choice, Nickelodeon Australian Kids' Choice, and Teen Choice Awards 2010. IGN replacement crew, what do you give this one?
This one, it's a 3. I mean, I still have to pick up, you know, Shrek the Third and Forever After, but definitely add it to your Netflix queue. And if you're a hardcore fan, I'd say pick it up on DVD, but Netflix would be just as well.
Yeah, when I saw this, I rented it on iTunes. You know, $2.99, $1.99, whatever it is for iTunes rentals.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that big of a deal just to see the movie without having to actually, you know, own either a physical copy or, you know, actually have it in your iTunes library.
No, it's because it's pretty expensive to get on iTunes. I was looking last night, just perusing. I mean,
well, it's expensive to buy it, but not to rent it. I mean, renting it on iTunes isn't that bad.
Well, it depends if you get the HD or the SD. I mean, the SD, it's about $15 to buy,
I always get the SD when I go for rentals. So
yeah, well, no, I'm talking buying though, because
yeah,
I mean, by this point, I mean the film, you know, it's been out for a while on disc. So,
yeah, but there's a lot of stuff that's been out for a while on disc, and iTunes still has, you know, crazy, like, I, you know, Top Gun is still $10. I mean, that's not saying that it's not worth it. It's not worth, you know, it is worth the $10, but, you know, it's like you would think that they would have a sale on some of these things.
Yeah.
Some point.
I mean, just before we kind of wrap it up here, like, one thing I want to talk about is some of the spinoff stuff that's come from the movies.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You've got, Shrek Fairy Tales, or not Shrek Fairy Tales, Shrek the Halls, and there's, what was the other
Scared, one? Scared Shrekless.
Yeah, Scared Shrekless, that was the other one.
Well, I love that, and the fact that they kind of go back, like, they're basically telling scary stories in Farquaad's abandoned castle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just, I love how they end that one with, was it Shrek and the family go, and who did they, they go egg the seven dwarves. You know, and I just love that, because the family of hooligans who vandalizes together stays together. You know, because it's not quite a felony. I love that. Shrek the Halls is great, you know, because I love Christmas specials, you know, and it's the fact that it's a Shrek special was awesome, because, you know, Shrek's got to learn a lesson again. But thank God they didn't do, you know, because they did that in the fourth one, they didn't do a Christmas Carol, which I totally thought they were going to go for. You know, in the and the way Puss and Donkey are telling the story, and I love how Donkey's ends, where there's like, he's on this floats made out of like waffles and pancakes and all that. And I visually, that was just kind of cool to see. I think one of my favorite things out of the spinoffs was, it's a parody short film. It's the Thriller Night.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I love the fact that Shrek's scared of the Sound of Music. She won't stop singing. and it was cool. I mean, you brought back like the Pied Piper from, I think it's like the fourth one, and Shrek's the only one, like, he's fighting against doing the Thriller dance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see like the Shrekified version of the lyrics with Donkey, you know, being Michael, and Puss in Boots doing the Vincent Price monologue.
Yeah.
And just the way they ended it, where it's like all a dream and Shrek fell asleep during the previews. And then Donkey's like, get ready for 3 hours of nuns and singing. And Shrek's like, no. So yeah, they have some great spinoffs when it comes to like the animated stuff. Again, they kind of talked about in the first episode of the Shrek Spotlight, just the video games just don't do anything for me.
No, not at all.
I mean, there's the only thing that comes when it comes to the video games is there was another short called The Pig Who Cried Werewolf. But it's basically the three little pigs kind of ignore all the signs of this guy that moves in next door. He's really a werewolf. Mm. But it's really, it was available originally for a limited time on the Nintendo 3DS video service, which I didn't even know there was a video service. I'm just reading off the wiki here. Like, wow, that probably didn't last that long if I haven't heard of it before. And apparently it's been released on Blu-ray, but I would love to see that. I haven't been able to track down a copy of that. Because the pigs, of all the side characters, the pigs are the ones that, you know, get a lot of laughs for me.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The pigs,
Pinocchio and Gingy, they are the ones that that get the laughs.
Yeah. Well, I love the, like I said, I love the wolf in that one trailer. He's like, what? You know, it's just, it's a grown man walking around in a woman's nightie. That's both funny and kind of disturbing at the same time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, overall, like, I love the series, you know, front to back. The last movie wasn't particularly that strong, but I still love it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons why I love it, just is kind of like, you know, before we kind of go to the break, one of the just kind of final thoughts now is like, one of the reasons why I love it, as I said before, is it takes the characters and does something different with them than what we saw in the first three films. Because some film series that have multiple sequels, it's just plot recycling. That's, some sequels have done that before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's not the sign of a good sequel. As an overall story, as an overall saga, I guess you could call it, you know, the Shrek franchise is a well thought out, told story over four films.
Yeah. You could see it that way. I don't know if they necessarily, like you said, with the whole thing with Katzenberg coming up and saying, you know, you guys have got the ending right here, let's roll with it. You know, clearly they didn't intend to finish it here, but
right,
just that goes towards the strength of the writers.
Yeah.
That they could end it like this and it's great. And oh, it's, yeah. Like a TV show that, you know, like just like Fringe, you know, they wrote the last episode of this last season. They wrote it as originally as the finale to the series. And then they got, you know, the fifth season pickup. And from what I've read, they didn't change all that much in the script to make it work as either a series or season finale. And you know, just like you said, it goes towards the writing. Like, you look at the writers and how well they did their job on these movies.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the writing in this, it's so smart. You know, it makes fun of popular culture. It makes fun of Disney at the same point of also homaging stuff as well. Just amazing, amazing stuff. And with that, we're going to head to the final break for this episode. And we'll come back to close the show.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand. No syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code GeekCastRadio when you register.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
For you, the listeners of Tooncast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you an opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can also email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
At JT from Saskatoon.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio network. Call the voicemail line, tell us the show you're leaving the message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be continuing on in the season of DreamWorks with Ants. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
GT from Saskatoon.
Thank you for listening. Until next time...
I'm making waffles.